Welcome to Paint Ed. PCA provides painting contractors with connections they need to grow their business. To find out more and to become a member, visit pcapainted.org. Find more great content like this on PCA Overdrive. A subscription to the platform is included with membership. For all of you non-members out there, sign up for a free trial. PCA Overdrive is available on the App Store and Google Play.
Welcome to the Service Legend Podcast, a show for home service business owners who are looking to dominate their market and see more profit, more freedom, and more impact from their services. Hey, I'm your host, Ryan Davis, CEO and founder at Service Legend and Cardinal Concrete Coating. Each episode, I'll be interviewing home service legends, industry experts, coaches, consultants, software companies, and a whole lot more. See you guys on the podcast. Well, happy Friday, everybody out there on the internet. Man, we're back with another episode of the Service Legend Podcast. Actually, episode number 66. So super excited to bring this to you guys, the show today. It's Friday, so a little different of a schedule. And for those that listen on Apple or Spotify, thank you guys so much for listening. Would highly encourage you, for specifically for this episode, go over to YouTube, go over to the Service Legends Podcast Facebook group, and check this one out visually, right, on the video, because I have a real treat for you guys today. Sean Michael McCrane, welcome to the show, man.
What's up, my man? Nice to be here. Did you call me Sean Michael McCrane?
That's like my
that reminds me of, like, if I was like from Ireland or something. McCrane, right?
No, yes.
You combine Michael and Crane. But what's up, brother? Oh, it's good to be here,
there,
man.
There I go.
I
go messing up the intro of the podcast and intro of the guest. Sorry about that.
It makes it better, actually. I like that. McCrane. That'd be actually a really cool name to have. But, dude, it's good to be here. I'm grateful that we're doing this podcast, but I'm grateful that we've connected to this point.
Yeah. And maybe it's a hook for everybody to stay tuned and see if I'm going to mess up again. And you have to wait into the rest of the podcast to see if I'm going to do that. But for those of you that don't know Sean Michael Crane, and I'm excited. Number one, this is really a selfish one for me. Someone who I look up to, Sean and his partner, Matt. But specifically Sean, I'm excited to introduce him. Welcome to the show. He's the remarkable founder of the Unstoppable 365 MFR coaching program. And Sean's list of achievements is nothing short of inspiring, from overcoming massive, massive adversity, which we'll get into, to becoming a best-selling author, keynote speaker, and dedicated family man, and a whole lot more to a whole lot of people. His journey from darkness to empowerment is a testament to the power of resilience and determination. I love that one. And guys, let's get ready. Let's get ready to dive right into it. But Sean, if you can give us some context, and everybody that's listening live on the replay, just a little origin story, kind of up to now.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's always good to start from the beginning, right? So I'm here in Santa Barbara, California. It's such a beautiful place. If you guys haven't been here, I'd highly recommend taking a trip. It's great for families, couples. It's just beautiful. Like, you have the mountains right here by the beach, palm trees. A lot of influential people live here, celebrities, movie stars. But growing up, man, I didn't care about all that. I just wanted to be a professional athlete. Every day I'd be out in the streets playing baseball or basketball, football. I'd be in the backyard throwing the baseball on the roof, diving on the ground to catch it. Like, all day long, all I thought about was being an athlete. I played all sports and I loved life. And then at around age 10, I started noticing things at home were not going well. I started noticing that my parents were different than the other kids' parents at school, or my aunts and uncles. And come to find out, they were battling drug and alcohol addiction. And I started seeing a lot of bad things happen at home. I started seeing my parents fight. The cops would come to our house. I remember I saw my mother overdose for the first time at 10 years old. And it was one of the scariest things I'd ever seen in my life. Because there's my mom just dead on the floor, and I'm a kid, I'm panicking, I'm not knowing what to do. And that became a reoccurring type of thing at my house growing up, my household. And things were progressively getting worse, man. You know, and I started to kind of have more insecurities, have more fears, have more concerns and worries about life. It wasn't this beautiful place that I had grown up in, you know. And then at the age of 14, my first month in freshman year in high school, my whole world just fell apart. I came home one day and my dad had a pistol and he was drunk, and something bad was going to happen. You could just tell. And so we tried to flee the house, and then the cops were coming, and I saw my dad in front of the house with a pistol pointed at the cops, and there was a standoff, like someone was going to die. It was so scary. Luckily, my dad surrendered and they arrested him, and he ended up going to state prison. And then shortly after, my mom, she was unhappy with my dad. She looked at this as an opportunity to finally get away from him. And at that time, we needed her though, man, you know, but she stopped coming home. She found a new boyfriend. She started doing more drugs, drinking more, and she really lost herself. Like, she did permanent damage during those years. I never got my mom back. Like, the mom that I grew up with as a little boy, who made me dinner, who took care of us, who was like always that source of comfort, I never got her back, you know? And it breaks my heart to this day, man. My mom passed away when I was in prison. I didn't get a chance to really like create a new, like another relationship with her as adults. But these are the things I grew up seeing and being a part of, man. Like, thinking back on it and talking about it sometimes, it hits me. It's like, damn, dude, I went through so much adversity, so much pain, so much sadness. You know, I remember like being 14. I'm still trying to figure out who I am as a person at that age, you know? Like, you go through puberty, now you're a young man, you're not a kid anymore, and now like you're at school with all these older kids and you're like thrust into the world, you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember just trying to figure out who I was as a person, and I was so distraught, man. I'd wake up in the middle of the night just full of anger and sadness. And I remember going into the bathroom, just looking in the mirror and just crying. Like, how did this happen to our family? How did this happen to me? Like, I couldn't accept it. I didn't know what to do to move past those life events. They were so devastating. And so what I found is that when I started smoking weed and drinking and taking pills, I didn't have to feel that pain. I was numb. So I became addicted to drugs and alcohol. I started following in the same footsteps as my parents. It was crazy. I stopped going to school. I started hanging out with kids that were doing the same thing, who had similar stuff going on at home, because we could kind of identify with each other. You know, like, I didn't want to be around the kids that I played sports with. I didn't want to see their parents. I didn't even want to see my own extended family, because what are they going to say to me? Like, hey, how's your mom and dad doing? Or, hey, I'm sorry that you're going through this. I didn't want to hear that shit. I wanted to run from it and pretend it didn't exist. And so I did, man. For 10 years, from 14 to 23, roughly 10 years, I ran from the truth. I stayed in denial. I numbed myself. And what happened was, I was still afflicted during that time, but I was numb. It was like a Band-Aid, you know? Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, time is just passing me by. Opportunities to play sports in high school, I let them pass me by. Opportunities to go to college and get a scholarship. Like, all these things I wanted to do came and went. And I remember I just found myself 21, 22, 23 out of high school with no purpose, no direction. You know, I was working from uncle's tree service business, climbing trees, carrying logs. I learned the value of hard work, and it was really important for me to learn that at that young age. But I had no purpose and direction, man. And so, still heavily using drugs and alcohol, heavily addicted. I went to a party one night in Santa Barbara. I was chasing girls, just trying to have fun. And a big old fight broke out. I was right there watching it, cheering these guys on like a drunk idiot. And I got pulled into the fight, man. I got pulled into the fight. I was tackled. I was getting jumped. I thought I was being attacked. And I started defending myself. And I stood up from the wrestling around with this guy who was attacking me, and I was covered in blood from head to toe. And literally, I was shocked. I didn't know what the heck happened, you know? I mean, here's a fist fight with a group of drunk college kids that turned into an assault with a weapon. And I had blood all over me. All these people were looking at me, like looking at us, and we all ran because we were scared. We didn't know what to do. Anytime something like that happens, you just get the hell out of that. But the next day, the cops arrested me and charged me with attempted murder. And honestly, I thought they were coming to try to get information from me and get me to tell on whoever did it. I had no idea that they really had me painted out to be the suspect, like the attacker. And my whole life changed in that moment. You know, I believe and know God intervened in my life and saved me from a really despairing path, you know, that I was on. But in that moment, everything just changed for me, Ryan. Like, it was the craziest chain of events you could ever imagine. It's like you're reading this novel or you're watching a movie and you're thinking, damn, I can't believe that guy's going through that. That could never happen to me, right? But it did, and it was my life, man. And that's when I really learned a lot about myself. And what about this? I really learned a lot about myself in that moment and came to understand what this journey is all about.
Yeah, well, we just got a comment. And I mean, well said. You know, this man can be an inspiration for many kids that... Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure who this is because I'm not over in Facebook right now, but Facebook user, anybody that's watching this live or on the replay, by the way, if you click that StreamYard link and accept it, then I'll be able to see who it is and also the guest. So just an FYI. But wow. Yeah, it's crazy. You know, I've heard some of your story. You know, I think I've heard most of it. I didn't I didn't hear as much of the family story. It's just very interesting to me, or inspiring rather, seeing like the whole thing, like the whole story laid out, and then seeing what you do now. It's pretty incredible. This might be a silly question, but like what inspired you to create the coaching program? Because you're a smart dude. Like, you could go do anything, I believe. Like, anything that you do, you'll probably find some success in it. Like, what inspired you to specifically create the Unstoppable 365 MF program?
Yeah, I mean, so when I was in prison, man, like, it was pure survival at first, you know? And I knew that there was no way I was going to overcome that challenge. I was facing life in prison if I didn't, like, fix myself. You know, I was so broken at that time. I was addicted to drugs and alcohol. Like, my mindset was fucked up. I was just not in a good place in life. And so I made like a really strong commitment to myself that I was going to fight this thing and I was going to overcome it. And so the first thing I had to do was forgive my parents and let go of all that pain and shame and guilt I held onto for all those years. It happened literally in a split second, Ryan. I spent 10 years running from my problems and in denial. And it took me one moment, one decision to let go of it all. And it was because the challenge in front of me was so massive and the odds were stacked up against me in such a severe way, you know, like, I knew there was no way I was going to overcome this thing in front of me if I can't let go of all that stuff I'm still carrying around with me. And I did. I made peace with the past. I said, I got to let go of this stuff finally. And being sober and being locked in the cell really helped because it gave me so much time to think and I could actually feel on a deeper level. You know, I wasn't numb. And I remember I sat there and I wrote my parents letters of forgiveness. I just said, hey, I forgive you for everything. I don't want you guys to self-destruct further. I love you. I'm going to be okay. I put myself here. I'm going to get myself out. Because I knew they were blaming themselves. You know, I knew, and my biggest fear was they were going to die while I was gone because they were going to overdose or self-destruct further. That's why I wrote the letters initially. So for anyone listening to this, like, sometimes you forgive people because you think you're going to let them off the hook or it's the right thing to do. Forgiveness is actually for you so that you no longer are emotionally afflicted by that person or those events that have been causing you to be stuck in life. You have to let go of stuff and accept it in order to move on. So that was the first thing. The next promise I made to myself, or the next thing I did, was a promise. I made two. It was, the first one was that I was going to be sober for the rest of my life. I knew that if I wasn't sober, I had not a chance in hell to live a decent life at best. Like, if I wasn't sober, there was no chance for me. And so I made a commitment to be clean and sober for the rest of my life. That was 12 years ago. I've been sober ever since. And the final promise was like, man, I knew that I was made for something great in life, Ryan. As a kid, I had these dreams, these aspirations. I had so much passion. I let that kid just die, man. I let him die. When all that stuff happened at home, I gave up on that kid. And so many people, that happens to them. They give up on their dreams. They give up on their potential. They give up on that vision they once had of who they want to be in life. That's the worst thing we can do. We get one life, man. And prison taught me that it can change in the blink of an eye. And so in that moment, I said, you know what? I'm going to fight to create a second chance, a second opportunity to do this the right way. And I'm going to be my true self and my best self in everything I do in every moment for the rest of my life. And that was the mentality, man. And here I am stuck in the 6x8 cell every day, just not knowing how much time I'm going to do, not getting out of the cell 24 hours a day. And I started doing things to help me to feel better about myself. I started working out, reading, writing. Every day I just started attacking my personal development because that's what became my salvation. That's what got me through the day. Like, if I just sat there idly, I would have been so like consumed with anxious thoughts, fearful thoughts, negative energy. I would have wanted to hang myself in that cell, thinking that I'm going to be in there every day for the rest of my life. It would have been torture. But I found my daily routines, especially the working out, the reading, and the writing, started to help me to feel differently. It started to help me find inner peace and find gratitude for what I could do, not what was going on out there, not what I couldn't control, but what was right in front of me that I could have an effect on. And so I started doing this every day, man, for 5 years straight. And in prison, guys started noticing that I was different. They started seeing how disciplined I was, how consistent I was, my workouts. They started seeing me read all these books and they were curious. So they would come up and ask me about what I was doing and they'd want to work out with me. They'd want to get in shape or they'd want to, you know, educate themselves. And this wasn't everybody. These were just the guys that wanted to change. I started becoming a symbol of what that change looked like. And that's when I realized, man, I'm here to be of service to people, Ryan. This is my purpose. I love seeing other men and other individuals change. I love seeing that transformation because I know what it's like to feel stuck, to feel despairing, to have all those negative energies, all that trauma, all that stuff that I dealt with early on, and then to be able to work through it and get to the other side of that inner peace, of that love, of that gratitude. It's like night and day. And I want everyone in the world to experience that positive side of life, you know, at the highest level. And when I started seeing the changing guys in prison, I thought, man, if these guys could change, if I can help inspire them to change, imagine what I could do in the world. And that's when the seed was planted. It was like, this is my purpose, man. So I was coaching guys in prison before I had an iPhone, before I ever went on Instagram, before I ever collected a cent for my services.
So and I knew no when TikTok I came in there for you to, you know, there's no TikTok. Back then, you were pushing the content.
Back then there was phones and stuff and you can get things, but I didn't mess around with anything that would get me in trouble or more time. I didn't want a phone. I was so focused on my personal development. All I wanted to do was read, write, and work out and just connect on a deep spiritual level. Like being in that environment, being in isolation, being away from all the stuff of this modern world, and then also the pain involved, like missing your family and like, you know, a lot of unknowns. It's such a powerful recipe for transformation. I found so much depth inside myself. I learned so much about myself. I made so many connections to the world and like why we're here. The craziest thing is I'd get books sent in and I'd be reading a book by like Napoleon Hill, like Think and Grow Rich. And I the stuff that he's talking about, I've already written about in letters. I've already implemented in my life. I'm like, holy shit. Like I figured all this stuff out just by sitting in the cell and peering deep within myself. It was mind blowing to me. All the stuff the gurus have written about, all the stuff that people teach out here, I came to realize and understand on my own just by developing myself and eliminating the distractions and really tapping into those inner thoughts and my truth and just like dissecting them over and over and over. That's the power of solitude, you know? So when I came home, I knew I wanted to coach. I knew I wanted to speak. I knew I wanted to write a book. I knew I wanted a family. I knew exactly what I wanted. Now, the funny thing is I didn't know how the hell any of it was going to happen. But here's the thing. When you have clarity in your vision and you have a big enough why, you'll always find a way. The how will always appear. And it's still happening in my life right now. My vision's massive. I have a lot of clarity. And my why is so powerful that the how continues to fall in place right in front of me. People come into my life. Opportunities present themselves. It's crazy. That's what the law of attraction is, right? It's like your vision combined with your why that has to be really powerful and unbreakable. And then you living in alignment with that every day, you become attracted to the world and you draw these opportunities in, you know? So let me know if you want me to pause because this is a long-winded answer. But
yeah, no, that was great. I mean, dude, I love the, like, you got to have a big why and clarity and then the how falls into place. I just makes so much sense. So I love that. You know, what's interesting is, you did write a book and you're a bestseller. And I just want to go into that just for a moment. Where can people find that book and kind of what is, you know, the gist or the vision of the book?
Yeah. So Prison of Your Own. I wrote this during COVID. I always wanted to write a book about my story and what I went through, and COVID presented a perfect opportunity. I mean, at that point I was working in a gym as a fitness coach. And all the gyms got shut down. I lost all my clients, all my money overnight. I was broke and I had a family.
This after you got out?
I just got out, man. I was so excited to be like, the first thing I did when I got out was I went to a gym. I met an old friend who was a personal trainer who had clients, and he had so many clients, he gave me the option to work with him. So I got certified. I started coaching and training people. I knew it was a stepping stone in the right direction, you know? And then I left that gym and started my own fitness company. And I was now training clients all over the county. I was going to all these different gyms. I was just hustling, man. And by then I had gotten married to my wife, Jessica. I had my oldest boy, my stepson, Mason. And then we just had Scarlett. Scarlett was just born, my baby girl. And my wife was pregnant again. All that when COVID shut all the gyms down. I'm like, man, what the hell? Like, I got a family to take care of. This isn't how it's supposed to be. But it was exactly how it was supposed to be because it forced my hand to really go all in, man. So what I did, I thought about calling Uncle Mark back and asking for my job because I needed to make money. I needed to take care of my family. And in that moment, I just had this honest conversation with myself. I'm like, Sean, you've come too far to go backwards. Like you've come too far and overcome too much to stop now. You could find a way to make this work. Like fuck a plan B. You got to be all in on your dream and your vision, man. You're not going to go backwards ever again in life. And so I started picking up the phone and I started telling my story. I went on Facebook. I did Facebook Lives. I started talking about not just fitness, but how I overcame depression, how I overcame addiction, how I changed my mentality, how all the changes I made in that jail cell created the opportunities that I was now having in life. And people liked the message. They resonated with it because they were stuck inside. Everyone was locked down, you know? And my online coaching program was born in that moment. And I started coaching people from all over the country. I never did it in person again. I started building the foundation of the business I have today. And that's when I started writing my book too. You know, I spent every morning from 4 to 5 a.m. writing my book before my wife and kids got up. And in 8 months, I had written it. I worked with a publisher, and then it was available on Amazon. And that first week, it hit bestseller status because so many copies were sold. So that right there, man, all those things right there during COVID started creating a lot of momentum for me. I started getting on podcasts. I started getting speaking opportunities. And from there, I was able to really grow in my profession. But the reason I wrote the book entitled it Prison of Your Own, because I was shocked when I came home to see how many people had just given up on life. How many people I knew growing up who seemed like they had some drive and motivation had just kind of settled, you know? And I realized everybody, man, is existing inside this manufactured prison in their own mind. Their thoughts, their limiting beliefs, their fears. Oh, I can't. Oh, why can't I? You know, like they're living in a world of limitation that they've created by the way that they think and what they believe. And so I was like, I got to change this. Prison taught me how to find freedom. Freedom is something you experience internally. Your external world has no bearing on how you feel internally. It's your ability to interpret the external world that affects your internal state, right? So I understood this because I spent so much time analyzing myself in prison, and I felt happier and more at peace and more free in my jail cell in prison than I ever had in my life, ever. And that's why I wrote the book, man. So if there's anyone listening and you want to learn to really develop your mindset to win in life, where nothing can stop you, where you don't become a victim of circumstance, if you want to be a better husband, a better business owner, a better version of yourself, I'm telling you, get a copy of the book. It's going to be very eye-opening and insightful for anybody that wants to level up.
Yeah, I love that, man. Kind of curious, you know, like now, you know, up to present moment, you know, one of my thoughts is, or questions rather, is how you balance, and, you know, I heard Lance, you know, I know Lance, you know, I heard Lance Bachman's thing. He's like, man, he's like, F balance, right? You know, but like for you, how do you balance the demands of entrepreneurship, you know, the speaking, the family, the coaching, and everything else that you might have going on, you know, and maintain the mindset and the fulfillment? How do you do that?
Yeah. Really good question. Have you ever seen like the picture and image of a guy with like spinning plates on all his fingers and his toes and his head? That's how I feel right now in my life. I prayed for this. I asked for this. I wanted this. I really did. So the key for me is gratitude. It's so easy. When I wake up and go to the gym and crush a workout and just like working out for me is so important. When I get up in the morning and go crush a workout, it starts to create that grateful internal state because I did something challenging. I pushed myself. I'm proud of myself. Every day when I do that, it sets the tone for my day. And I could have a million things going on, but they don't faze me. It's like I put my armor on, right? I had time alone to be by myself, to think. Maybe I'll do a little journaling. I'll set the intentions for the day. I crush a workout. And then as long as I have a gratitude perspective, I'm seeing all the good things in my life. I'm thinking about how blessed I am for my wife and children, how grateful I am for this second chance. None of that stuff phases me. But the moment I lose sight of all the good in my life, or the moment like if something happened, I didn't get to the gym or I didn't get a good workout, now those things start to affect me. Now I think about all the millions of things going on, and now I'm not in control of my thoughts, and they're leading to me feeling anxious and stressed and overwhelmed. So it's all about gratitude, man, but then having daily routines that keep that stress at bay. And really, it's like putting on your armor, man, before battle. Like my morning routine is me putting on my armor for the day so nothing can faze me. Now I'm still human. I'm not like perfect, right? There's moments where I feel stress. I feel negative emotions, but I've just worked so hard and for so long to develop recourse to those moments. So like if I'm feeling stressed or anxious or overwhelmed, I don't just let that persist. I don't sit in that negative internal state. I do something about it. I take positive action that helps me to elevate beyond those emotions, and then I can get refocused, tap back into that gratitude, and go into my life as that man.
Yeah, I love that, man. I'm kind of curious too. This is kind of a follow-up, but like, you know, so in the book, you know, it really describes, you know, your journey from despair to purpose and much more. But what advice would you give to an individual facing similar challenges like right now, right? Like people that are listening live on the replay, people that are going to listen to Apple, Spotify, is there any actionable things you're like, hey, right now, this is what you do right now outside of joining the program?
Yeah. Well, I mean, so I'm thinking about like, if I could go back and talk to my 23-year-old self before I went to prison, because people ask me that a lot.
Yeah.
So at that age, I was like addicted to drugs and alcohol. Had no direction, no purpose. I wasn't doing a lot of positive things for myself. So if I wanted to prevent that kid from going to prison, I would have said, hey, you got to move away from your close family members. You got to get away from your dad, your uncles, your friends. Like, you're not going to be able to be the person you want to be if you're in that environment. So you got to move out of there. And then you got to look at, okay, what are you doing every day that's causing you to decline in life? Drinking, doing drugs, like partying. Okay, you got to cut that shit out and you got to replace it with positive habits. For me, working out, if there's one habit anybody listening to this can establish in their life to have the biggest impact, is daily exercise. Nothing else in the world has the same impact in such a widespread way across all areas of your life as exercise. When you get up and you go work out, right? You're doing something that's difficult, that tests you, that challenges you, that puts you out of your comfort zone. Immediately on the other end of that endeavor is you feeling proud of yourself, which is so key to success in life. Cultivating that belief in yourself, feeling proud of what you're doing, proud of who you are, that changes everything, okay? And not just that, but you're callousing your mindset. You're developing discipline. If you can do hard shit every day and go to the gym, you can handle other difficult things in life. I see so many people that break under pressure when things happen, they crumble because they're weak, because they're not strengthening themselves every day. So exercise every day strengthens your mind, strengthens your body. You'll live a longer, healthier life when you consistently work out. You're going to be happier, so you show up with better love and energy in your relationships, right? And man, seriously, like when I work out, I tap in on a spiritual level too. Like long runs, runs in the dark, workouts by myself, I'm connecting with God in those moments. I'm reflecting on my life. I'm so tapped in. So for me, across the board, working out every day is the most impactful habit I can form. Anybody listening to this, if you're going through a struggle, if you're angry about something, upset, go take it out on your workouts. Go exhaust that energy through a workout. If you're having a bad day, I'm telling you, work out until you're not feeling bad anymore. I promise you it'll help you.
Yeah, love that. I love what you said too about, you know, replacing the negative into, you know, with positive, essentially, right? It's like, it reminds me of, have you read any of the Stoicism stuff?
Well, I mean, As a Man Thinketh is like one of my favorite books. That's pretty, you know, on par with Stoicism. But yeah, I've read a lot of the stuff in the past. And like, here's the thing though, a lot of times we have to go to that dark place to really understand how beautiful life can be. We have to hit rock bottom sometimes to want to change. For me, like my why is so big and it drives me every day in a way that I never would feel this way if I didn't go through those difficult times. Like, I wouldn't be the dad I am today if I grew up having amazing parents. I needed to have parents who struggled to know what that pain felt like as a child to make sure I never do that to my children. Like, I had to get, you know, I had to go through a breakup right before prison with my first girlfriend who I lived with to know the pain of heartbreak so that I could treat my wife like a queen and always go above and beyond to do the little things for her that matter. Like, everything in my life that I do now is derived from knowing what's on the other end of those bad decisions, you know? And the thing is, a lot of people, they never meet that pain threshold in life. So they always teeter on the edge of like wanting to change versus staying comfortable and doing what they've been doing. And that's the worst place to be because they never commit and they go their whole lives doing that. And then all of a sudden they're going to look back on decades of wasted life, man. We're like, you're going to look back on your deathbed, a lot of people, and think, damn, that was my life. Wait, like, no, it can't be over. Like, no way I'm dying. Like, it's over. I would have lived differently if I knew it went by that quick. I would have tried harder. I would have pursued those bigger visions if I knew this was going to go by so fast. And that's the feeling I had in jail when I thought I was doing life in prison at 23. It rocked me to the core, man. But what it did is it taught me how precious every day is. And it gave me the ability to really live with urgency every day. Like, I think about, if I die right now, what are my kids going to remember me for? What is my wife going to think about at my funeral? What are all the people that I coach and mentored? What is the world going to think of me? Did I do enough? Did I make enough positive change? I think about that every day. And so for anybody listening, if you want to get an edge in life and develop this awareness, I want you to live today and every day going forward as if your life is going to be broadcast on the evening news. Imagine all your friends, all your family, all your coworkers, everybody that you know is going to see every little detail about how you live today. Are you going to be proud of what they see? Or are you going to be embarrassed and scared when 8 o'clock comes and that evening news is coming on? Like, that awareness right there can really put things in perspective for a lot of people. Because a lot of people waste time and they make decisions habitually that they regret. And those are the things that are going to haunt you later on in life.
Yeah, it's really easy to like carelessly go through life, right? And not be intentional. And that's what I get out, like a lot of what, you know, what you guys are talking about in the program and things like that. It's like, it's just really being intentional with what we're doing here, you know? And it's like, it's so easy to just let things pass you by. I also noticed that, you know, there's a big following with you in home service, right? Like in, you know, home service entrepreneurs, you know, whether it's employees in home service. Could you talk about that a little bit? Like, you know, why do you think the home service industry is really tuning into kind of what you're putting down?
Yeah. Remember when I shared earlier, like when you have clarity in your vision and a big enough why, the how just falls into place. Mm-hmm. I never intended to work with anybody in home service. I didn't even know what home service was. About a year and a half ago, man, I was just attacking life every day, running in the morning before I hurt my knee, working out. I was in the best physical shape of my life. And I'd just be on camera, just spitting fire and motivation into my phone at like 4 a.m, running 5-10 miles, you know, like getting people fired up, getting the world inspired, getting all the people that watch me motivated. And that's when I met Victor Rancour. Victor reached out to me. He's like, dude, what are you on, bro? Like, I want to feel like that, you know? And me and Victor built a relationship. I was, you know, his coach all of last year. And we worked together on a lot of things. So I would be doing Victor's podcast or speaking at his events. And that's how I started to meet a lot of people in the home service space. I met Lance Bachman, you know, a little short while after that. Me and Lance do work together. Tommy Mello, all these, you know, heavy hitters, all these influential people in the space. Spoke at Tommy's event in November, built a really good relationship with him and his team. So it's like now I'm being seen on these stages. I'm being seen on these podcasts. And I think a lot of the guys in the home service space, like these are blue collar workers. These are kind of like my people. My family's blue collar. We're tough. We're rough. Like I'm not some squeaky clean choir boy, right? I have a heart of gold. I care about people, but I'm rough around the edges because of the way I was brought up and what I went through. I think we all need that edge in life, right? Like you want to get somewhere in life, you got to be tough. You got to be strong-minded, right? Having that edge is a good thing. So I think a lot of the guys just resonate with that message. They want to be their best and they don't know how to put the pieces together because they're working their butt off. They want to take care of their families. They want to make more money and grow in their business. But all these guys neglect themselves. They're not 21 anymore. They can't drink all night and eat whatever they want and stay lean, shredded, and driven. Like when you get a little older, suddenly your gut gets bigger. Suddenly your energy dwindles. Suddenly your libido's down. Mental health suffers. I see the symptoms. I know how to fix this stuff because I fixed it for myself. So, you know, I think it's an element of trust and you know, these guys connect with my message. We like have the same mentality and values, and I can show them how to get results. I can show them how to get lean and shredded, how to have more discipline, more confidence, to show up with more love for your family and to put all the pieces together because I want to see these guys win across the board. And our blueprint works, man. Like in our program, we have an app that they follow every day. We customize it based on their lifestyle. So if they're doing service calls or they're in the office or whatever is going on in their life, we create a blueprint they can execute every day flawlessly. And we teach them to run their personal lives like a system, just like you would in a business, right? With systems, being organized, everything that you need to get the intended result. So they work out every day. We start teaching them about nutrition because nutrition is so important. It affects everything, your mental health, your energy, your weight, everything. If they want to take supplements, we teach them what are the best supplements. We teach them, you know, about daily habits, what books to read, how to develop their mindset. And when you're doing this in a group with other like-minded individuals who want the same result, who have similar backgrounds and stories and lives, it becomes so much bigger than just losing weight or just workouts. It's like we're raising the standards of how these men live and operate so that we can be better parents, so that we can be better leaders, so that we can be better examples. That's what it's all about for me. I want to raise the standards of all men in America. I want to raise the standards to such a level where America is so badass. The men here are the strongest, most determined, disciplined, best leaders in the world. And that starts on the front lines with us, man. So we're in the trenches right now doing the work so we can show people what it looks like and then help them change as well.
So good, man. And let's talk about the new headquarters a little bit, because I know that, you know, things are kind of growing. And so there's a podcast that studio that you've created, which you're in. And then just give us some context to, you know, what the headquarters is like, what you guys have going on, and maybe just some vision of, you know, what we can expect next from you guys.
Yeah. So we have three offices here and the podcast studio that I'm in right now. I got my head coach, Matt Fleming, who's here in Santa Barbara. He's here every day with me. I'm training my sales team right now. So a couple of those guys live here in Santa Barbara. Right here too, like behind me, or behind you, you can't see, we have like a training area. So we have tables set up, chairs, whiteboard. We're going to put actually a screen on the wall for presentations, for like in-person masterminds. Just last weekend, I had a bunch of guys fly out from all over and come in for a day of live coaching, working out, connecting, networking. So it's just creating more opportunities. And the thing is, like, no one in Santa Barbara, California is doing this for young business owners and entrepreneurs. Like, part of what I do is, yeah, mindset, fitness, like, but when you take care of yourself and you develop that self-mastery, now you can just achieve success in all areas of life. So now we're looking at business, we're looking at relationships, we're looking at networking, we're looking at all the areas that we want to improve, and building out networks and getting around, you know, like-minded people to do so is how it's done. So we're making a big dent here in Santa Barbara, man. We're creating a big ripple effect on, you know, no one's doing this. No one's doing personal development. No one's doing the type of coaching and motivation that we want to do. So this spot, it's temporary. Like, this is our first HQ as a company, but the next one's going to be bigger. It's going to be more badass. You know, the vision's there, man. And what I found is, like, when you have the vision and you know where you're going, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to like overthink things. You just show up today and you win this day. Everything in your path, you crush it. You give a 10 out of 10 effort to everything that you do, and stuff just falls into place, man. You know, so it's really cool. It's really cool because, you know, things right now in my life are exactly what I dreamt of at one time. And now I'm just dreaming bigger into the future because I know the same thing's going to happen 10 years down the road from here.
Yeah, I have no doubt. I'm excited to see, you know, I imagine the next one's going to be crazy, man. Yeah, I'm excited for you guys and love what you guys are doing. Just a few more thoughts. You know, you really you talk about the self-awareness a lot too, right? You know, especially when you were in prison, like this stuff, like just the massive clarity, like the massive action creates that massive clarity. And you just mentioned like there was so much clarity, especially when you were there by yourself. What role do you believe self-awareness plays in achieving peak performance? And then like, how do we cultivate that if we're not in prison, you know, like you were?
Yeah. I mean, it's literally the first thing. If you're not aware, how can you ever make sound decisions? So it starts with being honest with yourself, and honesty creates awareness. Like, if you were on your deathbed right now, or you went to the doctor and he said you had life-threatening cancer and he doesn't know if you're gonna survive, everything in your life would be perfectly in perspective. You would know exactly what you should spend your time doing and what would just be a waste of time and energy. Just like that, just like that. And everyone listening, including yourself, Ryan, you already know what you should and shouldn't do. That's it. You already know, you already have the answers, right? But are you doing it? So self-awareness, yeah. In order to be really aware and have that clarity, number one, we need to be able to let go of all past trauma, all shame, all guilt. That's like a vortex inside you. It just sucks up all your energy. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to get clarity about your future and really find that purpose if you're afflicted like that internally. It's impossible. I remember when I really just let go of the past and accepted all those things, all of a sudden my mind started operating like never before. I started getting visions, these desires inside of me to do good in life. All these passions started to emerge. The other reason for that is because I got sober. So you need to make sure you work through any pain, trauma from the past, accept things that are no longer, you can't fix or change. Make peace with the past, man. You can't change it. And then you have to be sober. If you want to get that clarity and that awareness every day, you can't fog your brain up with pills and bullshit alcohol and stuff. Like, you don't need that. You don't need to smoke or drink or take a pill to reduce stress. You need to develop yourself. You need to work on yourself, okay? So those two pieces right there are so crucial. And then the third component, like, you have to do a little work asking yourself, what do I want in life? Why does that matter? You know, my whole course, and I also have, this book is really helpful for a lot of people. It's available on Amazon. It's the Unstoppable Self-Mastery Guide. All my courses that I've created, like everything that I've created since I came out of prison, is condensed into there into like a blueprint, right? And so what I have people do, the first thing is I have them really focus on like, what do they want in life? I help them extract that vision. The way we do that is we really start to identify like, okay, what do I want? If God was here right now and said, hey, Ryan, you have 2 minutes to write down everything you want in 5 years. I'm going to grant those wishes for you. I'm going to materialize that in your life. Write it down right now. What would you write? Right? So the goal is real quickly a brain dump onto paper. We want to circumvent any fears, any doubt, any procrastination. Just get it down on paper. 2 minutes, that's all you have. Write it down. Then from there, we can start to objectively look at what we wrote down. Like, damn, that's crazy. Damn, that's big, scary. Like, I don't know if I could do that. That's just the human nature in you, right? Trying to like call you away from your purpose. Uh-huh. The reason we do that brain dump is we want to get your truth on a paper. So from there, we can start to materialize the vision in a year from now, 3 years, 5 years from now. And I have specific writing exercises that people go through to do that. The other thing I have people do is write their obituary. I have them write their obituary because that really puts things in perspective. Like, your life's over. What did you do? Is that the person you wanted to be? Is that the life you wanted to live? No? Okay, then why the hell are you settling for that? Like, you have the ability to change anything you want in your life. It takes time. It takes hard work, but it's possible. Okay? So doing the writing and the self-reflection and looking within yourself, and we do this over, you know, a couple weeks or months at a time, you're extracting that vision. You're extracting that truth. Now, once you're aware of it and you know what you want, okay, every day is my day aligned to that vision. From the moment I open my eyes to the moment I go to sleep, am I moving towards those outcomes? And the morning routine is so important because that's when you get your aim. You know, prison taught me this. It gave me so much time. I'd get up in the morning and just sit there for 2 hours, sipping my instant coffee with nothing to do. And I would just think, and I would just get these ideas, and I'd write about them in my journal, and I'd envision life beyond the walls, and I'd write about it in my journal. I was like manifesting the life I have now in those moments. Right. So for anyone listening, if you want to get more focus and more awareness in your life, get up in the morning, put your phone away, put your laptop away, no TV, sit there and just be still for 20 minutes and write down anything that you think about. And over time, that's how you really start to learn about yourself, get more clarity, get more awareness. And I promise you, it'll change your whole life.
Love it, man. Two more things I want to make sure everybody has access to is, how can they learn more if somebody's interested at any level? How can they learn more about the program? And then also, I know you guys do events, right? And I know there's one coming up in a few months or something like that. If you could just share how can people can just find more information about the, you know, the program and then also the masterminds that are coming up.
Yeah, so I'm doing a big mastermind at the end of this month in Tampa. I'm speaking at an event with Tommy Mello and Andy Elliott. I'm hosting a mastermind. Other than that, though, that one's in Tampa. I'll be doing them every month in Santa Barbara. Every month in Santa Barbara, I'll be having them. I'll come up with a calendar. I'll put that online. If you want to learn about the coaching programs, I mean, I have low ticket programs. I have high ticket programs. I have programs to help you get your mindset dialed in, lose weight and get fit. I have programs focused on social media marketing and how to get more opportunity off social media. It just depends on your goals for the listeners. So a couple ways. You can either shoot me a DM, Sean Michael Crane on Facebook, or Sean_Crane_official on Instagram. I answer all my messages, so send me a message there. Or go to unstoppable365mfr.com, and you can see everything that we have to offer. So those are ways that you can learn more about our coaching programs, what I'm doing, the masterminds, and the various events coming up.
Love it, man. In closing, is there anything else that you want to leave us with?
No, I mean, honestly, man, like, this is the thing I've been preaching so much ever since I came home, and a lot lately. I've been thinking about death a lot lately, Ryan. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to die, bro. And if I am, it's okay because I did what I was supposed to do while I was here, you know? But I still got unfinished business. I got young kids. I got a family. I got such a massive vision. I want to make a huge impact on the world. So I hope I have more time. But here's the thing, like,
me too.
I think about death every day because it drives me to be the best version of myself. Because I know if today's my last day, I want to give my all and go out the right way. And for anybody listening, like, if you want to have success in life, personal development equates to professional success. Don't chase the money and chase all this stuff at the detriment of your own well-being. If your mindset's weak because you're not taking care of yourself, if your body's weak because you're not taking care of yourself, if your spirit is dwindling, you're going to suffer later on. Focus on yourself as your number one priority. You're the number one asset that you have in your life. There's infinite amount of knowledge you can obtain, infinite amounts of growth that you can obtain. You got to attack it every day because when you do, the world starts to recognize that person and opportunities come your way. The right people come your way. And so, I mean, man, every day is an opportunity and a gift, brother. I think about death every day because it drives me to be the right man. And I know that if I have that clarity and that vision and I'm living in alignment with that vision every day and I'm in integrity, meaning when you're not seeing me, I'm doing the right thing. You know, when no one knows what I'm thinking, my thoughts are pure. All my actions are righteous and aligned to that vision. Bro, that's how you create peace. That's the ultimate form of success. And everything else in life, it feels the effects of that energy and that person you become. So I hope somebody got some value out of this interview today. Hope you guys are fired up and motivated. I'm telling you, attack your life. Attack your life. You don't want to die with regrets. You want to die knowing you fulfilled that purpose.
Yeah, well, I'm fired up. So hopefully the viewers that were live are fired up, and also on the replay. I know I'm fired up, man. Thank you so much for your time, and we'll see you soon, man.
All right, brother.
See ya.
Paynet podcasts are produced by the Painting Contractors Association and are made possible by members and industry partners. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities or for more information about joining PCA, visit pcapainted.org.